You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Linda Bordoni. A Revolution of the Spirit is the title of a just-published book of daily reflections for Lent that delve into the South African experience of oppression, liberation, reconciliation and democracy. It comes at a particularly meaningful time as the nation prepares for upcoming general elections. Written by South African Jesuit Anthony Egan, who works at the Jesuit Institute in South Africa, the book reflects on the experience of journeying from darkness to light, both from an individual and a national perspective. I spoke to Father Anthony about the book, which was launched in February at the Archdiocese of Durban.
The title, A Revolution of the Spirit, is in a sense a play on words. It's a reference to Aung San Suu Kyi, the great Burmese Nobel laureate, who talks about the need for any kind of social change be also rooted in the spiritual, in inner spirituality. And in a sense, what this book is trying to do is to link together for South African readers primarily the experience of 20 years of democracy and the upcoming election on May 7th with the whole question of Lent and how we celebrate Lent. So what effectively this book is a collection of meditations based on the readings of the day, often read against or read with other texts, whether it's South African political thinkers or even other religious sources like Hindu and Buddhist and Muslim scriptures. And what I'm trying to do is to get people to reflect on how the whole journey that we make through Lent every year, this year, has particular relevance to their process of living through a democracy for 20 years and coming up to the election in 2014. In many ways, this book is my attempt, or I should say the Jesuit Institute's attempt, to encourage fellow South Africans to actually get out there and vote. Because democracy, I think, was hard won, and we need to always encourage ourselves to not get sort of complacent and just let other people, you know, run things for us, that, you know, we really have to, in a sense, take initiative for ourselves as South Africans and participate in our whole sort of South African democracy.
You're also answering a call by Pope Francis, who says that a responsible citizenship is a virtue and participation in political life is a moral obligation.
Indeed. In fact, that very quote of his we have on the cover, right next to the design of a ballot box and a hand putting a vote into the South African ballot box. So I think he certainly had an influence in this book, to say the least. But, I mean, I think it's important to see that, you know, within Catholic tradition, we recognize now particularly that elections and democratic government is, in a sense, a faith issue, and that we have to approach things from the perspective of faith as Catholics, as Christians.
You were saying there's a meditation for every day of Lent, and yes. Each meditation can be read on its own, but there is a pattern, isn't there?
Yes, it's a pattern that you have to look at very carefully, and in a sense, it's almost you achieve the sense of where it's going serendipitously. Because what I've tried to suggest at the end of the book, which, by the way, goes up to Easter Sunday, I include Easter week in it because I think it's more appropriate. What I'm trying to do is to get people to look at themes of resurrection and sin, death and life, hope and despair, and all the kind of questions that I think we go through during Lent. Because when you look at the Lenten season, it's a season of preparation. It is both joyful but also penitent, and strongly emphasizing in many of the sort of scripture sources that we have in the lectionary, the call to faith and renewal and repentance. And one of the images that struck me about Lent is, in a sense, it's a bit like the journey of the Israelites in the desert in Exodus. And I think for me and for many South Africans, there is that sense that South Africa's last 20 years is a bit of a journey as well. It's been a journey from slavery to freedom. And although we are now a democracy and have been for 20 years, there's still so many things to achieve, and so often we seem to lose the way. And in a sense, the whole process of Lent is calling us back onto the journey. And I suppose that's one of the key themes that I've tried to bring into this book that I've written together with my colleagues.
Have you delved much into the memory of the 1994 transition to democracy as such and of, you know, of the first days, jubilant days of the new Rainbow Nation?
Yes, of course. And I think that's something one has to look at, because even though I'm looking at 20 years of democracy, I'm also inevitably looking before 1994 to the really bad years that we had, you know, in the past. And so in a sense, one cannot but talk about the 20 years of democracy without talking about the years before of undemocracy, you might say. So what I've tried to do in all of these things is to try and set the questions I raise in perspective. And looking too, for example, at themes like truth and reconciliation and the ways in which South Africa manages to pull together every now and then as a nation, either in great adversity or in some great sort of celebration like the two great World Cups, the 95 Rugby World Cup and, of course, the 2010 Soccer World Cup that we both hosted. So those kinds of things always have to, in a sense, be read against the past. So in a sense, we read the past, the immediate past, but also the longer past, with a view to seeing the present. And in a sense, I think one of the things that strikes me about reading Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, there is this whole sense in the Old Testament of, you know, remember where you've come from, so that you don't, in a sense, repeat the mistakes of the past. And I think one of the things we've achieved as a nation is this ability, I think, slowly, to look at our past a little more objectively, even though I think that's always a kind of tension, because we always want to use the past for our own particular purposes. And I suppose I've done that myself in my own way, but I've tried to be as fair as possible when I've done it.
Father Anthony, you said at the beginning that the book is directed mostly at South Africans. In actual fact, as we've seen recently with the death of Nelson Mandela, who is considered a leader for the world because of his moral entity, because of who he was, because of what he achieved. And I think your message goes well beyond the borders of South Africa, don't you?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I think, you know, South Africa in many ways is a bit like the old slogan that the South African tourist board used to have back in the past, a world in one country. And there they were talking very much about the sort of natural, climatic and historical features, sort of nature. But I think what we really have in South Africa is a microcosm of what democracy could become and how it could go wrong. And in a sense, in that respect, I do think South Africa's experience is a fairly universal one. And I would hope that, you know, some people elsewhere on the continent or elsewhere in the world, if they get their hands on this book, I'm sure we'd be very pleased to send it to them. I'd hope that you know, people would read these things and see how that relates to their own experiences. Because so many other things are universal, you know, the question, for example, of how we build a democracy, how we maintain a spirit of justice, while at the same time not, in a sense, you know, pushing things under the carpet. Because remember, in South Africa, we learned from a whole lot of other countries when we were going through our transition. I mean, our Truth and Reconciliation Commission is based on the experiences in places like Chile and the Pope's own Argentina, our experiences of, you know, constitution building. We had a kind of dry run with that in Namibia in the 1980s into the early 1990s, where in a sense they decided to build a constitution from scratch. And similar things in other countries around the world. I mean, the fact that I, for example, use an expression from somebody like Aung San Suu Kyi suggests also that many of the things we've experienced and been through, and which in a sense she's experienced in Burma, are still things that people are waiting for in other places. So who knows? One hopes it helps. It hopes it gives some kind of spiritual nourishment or encouragement. But, you know, I wrote it for South Africans. But, I mean, I think, as you said, perhaps it can be read by others. And certainly, you know, there are quite a few people pop up in these pages that have universal significance, like Archbishop Romero. and people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others who've also made a major contribution to, I think, our spirituality of justice.
As you're speaking, I remember reading somewhere, I haven't got it under hand, that you actually dedicate the book to Bishop Hurley.
Yes, to Archbishop Dennis Hurley. In fact, we launched the book in Durban last week at the Archbishop Dennis Hurley Memorial. It's the 10th anniversary of his death on the 13th of February 2004. And so we had a little bit of a launch during the celebration. And I mean, in many ways, I mean, Archbishop Hurley was one of the great South African Catholics who contributed to liberation and was always present and always had a sort of ongoing voice. Even after 94, you know, he didn't just go into retirement. At least he didn't formally. He kept going. I mean, he was constantly engaged in the public life as much as he could, even as his health started to fail as he was getting much older. So yes, I mean, somebody like Dennis Hurley is certainly a figure that I have had great respect for and in a sense is one of my heroes.
Father Anthony, let's also just mention that the book has photographs in it, 8 colour plates.
Yes, indeed. In the past when we've done Lent books, they've been basically just text, but we decided because this is a sort of an anniversary and a celebration, we decided to go for some colour plates. And so what we've done is we've tried to bring together the sort of images and themes of the church alive and engaging in questions of democracy. So, for example, the first image we have in the book is of parishioners in a Catholic parish in Soweto participating in Soccer Sunday, which was an initiative we started in the church for the beginning of the 2010 World Cup. And you know, you see people beautifully dressed in all kinds of bright colors, including lots of, you know, literally blankets made in the shape and design and color of the South African flag. And then the sort of photographs of, you know, the Catholic Church engaging with other faiths and people outside, organized religion through things like the Parliamentary Liaison Office in Cape Town, has I think been one of South African Church's great contributions to church-state relations, I think, in the last 20 years in the world, in fact. And then other images that we've used that also remind us of our past, remind us, for example, of the bad old days. So there's this almost iconic picture of a priest standing in front of an armored personnel vehicle. This happened in 1987. It made the headlines of most newspapers. And I must confess, in our case, this was a sort of special case because the priest involved was a Jesuit who was working in a township parish in the Western Cape. He's dead now. Lovely old English Jesuit, surgeon by training before he joined the society. And he was working in the thick of things during the 80s. And so those kind of images then juxtaposed against the current Archbishop of Cape Town on the steps of our cathedral, which is right next door to Parliament. Interesting that South African Parliament is caught between the Catholic cathedral on one side and the Anglican cathedral on the other. So we always jokingly say, you know, we keep an eye on these guys. And there it is. It's a protest that he spoke at against a bill which was going to increase the state control over information, particularly government information, which we held was against the Constitution and against the principles of freedom of speech and freedom of information that, in a sense, our Constitution was based on. So it's, in a sense, a kind of looking forward, looking backwards, but and celebrating as well as, you know, noting with concern things that we see that need to be changed in our country and that we, you know, as church are trying to do.